Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So we're concluding our He Is Risen sermon series that we've been doing this Eastertide season. And we've looked at most of the encounters with Jesus after Easter. We looked at Thomas. We looked at the disciples having breakfast on the beach with Jesus. We looked at the redemption of Peter. We looked at the Great Commission. And today, yesterday is Mother's Day, and that's a very important day. But it's also a very important day in the life of the church. It's Ascension Sunday. It's sadly a day that gets overlooked. We just kind of gloss over it a lot of times. And that's not anybody's fault except for maybe those of us that plan worship. And so it may be a day that you're not very familiar with. But I hope that's changed before you leave today. So our scripture today is going to come from the first chapter of the book of Acts. I'm going to read, starting at the sixth verse, hear the words of the Lord this morning. I'm going to start with verse 4. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that my Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So today is Ascension Sunday. Ascension Day was Thursday, 40 days after Easter. And so we recognize it the Sunday after that day. We're familiar with this. We believe this, or at least we claim to. In the Apostles' Creed, we recite, He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There was a young boy who was out one night with his dad, and it was a beautiful sky, and the stars were sparkling more than he had ever seen. And the little boy said, Wow, Dad, God must have painted all this with his left hand. Dad looked kind of confused, and he said, Son, why do you think he painted it with his left hand? He said, Well, in church, we always say Jesus is sitting on his right. I worked on that one all week. But before we can understand what the ascension means to us, I think it's important that we look at what the ascension means for Jesus. So if you'll indulge me, allow me, or even just tolerate, I'm going to kind of get into teaching mode for a minute and maybe be less preachery, which some of you might enjoy. But the first thing the ascension meant for Jesus is it brought Jesus back into the full presence of God, where he started, where he originated for all of eternity, till we came down at Christmas and was Emmanuel, God with us. We see in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. I don't know if you want to write these down or whatever, you can. That's great. If you don't, just listen. If you want to go back and listen to them later so you can study them and see if I'm telling you the truth, part of this will be online. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 says, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." So when Jesus ascends into heaven, he returns to his rightful place in the full presence of God. So secondly, what happens for Jesus is Jesus now exercises that full authority and power that we talked about in the Great Commission. He says, "All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me." So now he is sitting at God's right hand, not on his right hand, but at his right hand. And all through Scripture, the right hand of God is just synonymous with power. So now he has all power and all authority on heaven and earth. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, "And he has put all things under his feet." It's a reference going back to Psalm 110. "And the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstools." So Jesus is back in the fullness of God. He has taken all authority and power. And then number three, because of where he sits, Jesus, even right now in this moment, is serving as an intercessor for you and for me. I need an intercessor. I don't want to speak on your behalf, but I'm beyond thankful that Christ is interceding on my behalf to the Creator of all things. In Romans 8:34, Paul says these words, "Who can condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed intercedes for us now." So whatever you're going through this week, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding on your behalf. We talk about John Wesley a lot around here. I don't know why y'all do that so much. But we often leave out his brother Charles, who was pretty brilliant himself. A lot of his poems turned into hymns. One of his older popular hymns of that day was "Arise, My Soul, Arise." And it says these words in the second and third stanza. Is it verse, stanza, something like that? He says, "He ever lies above for me to intercede, his all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for every race, his blood atoned for every race, and sprinkles now the thorn of grace. 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive him, they cry. Forgive him, oh forgive him, they cry. Nor let that ransom sinner die." Jesus sits beside his Father and he says, "Forgive him. Oh, forgive him." We grew up in the 90s. Is that when we got into Christian music, I guess? We went to a lot of concerts, and one of the popular bands at the time was called New Song. But if you ever went somewhere and you asked them, "Can you play something from New Song?" They said, "Well, what new song do you want?" No, the band. But these are the words that brought back some of that early middle school days for me. It's the song, "This One's With Me." It says, "I was dreaming about heaven, and I was standing at the pearly gates. We were all there, and I was so scared in the presence of the one so great. I felt so worried and unworthy. I felt like running away. I bowed my head and I turned to go. Then I heard someone say, 'Father, this one's with me. It's part of my family. One of the reasons I died on Calvary. Father, welcome him in. I paid the price for him. Father, oh Father, this one's with me.'" Isn't that beautiful? Christ returns to his rightful place. Christ has all authority And Christ intercedes on your behalf, on my behalf. So what does any and all of that mean to us as modern day disciples? Well, it means because Jesus returned to the fullness of God, we experience intimacy with the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. Because Christ is where he said he was going to be, and he promised not to leave us orphaned, he sent his Holy Spirit in just a few days from now. And so we have that intimacy everywhere we go. Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. We also can exercise power and authority even in the midst of evil and suffering. How is that possible? Well, Ephesians 2 verse 4 tells us this. But God, who is rich in mercy. Where are my girls at? We talked about this in confirmation yesterday, didn't we? God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What that means is, as believers in Christ, we have been raised up. We have put on Christ, and we get to sit at the right hand of God with him even now. We all want to get to heaven, right? Some of us want to really get there, and some of us just want to get in the gate. I got some friends that are like, I just want to get in the gate. So I don't know if that actually works with my theology, but I get it. But we can enjoy that now. The psalm said, I'll make your enemies a footstool. So maybe what you need to hear this morning is what you're going through, the temptations, the toughness, the struggle, the grief. You need to tell it to get under your feet because you've been raised up with Jesus and it's beneath you. It has no power, it has no authority over your life because Christ sits in the seat of authority and you sit with him. I don't know why I think somebody should have said amen, but maybe that doesn't excite y'all. Maybe y'all don't need as much intercession as I do. But the final thing that means is we are then to be intercessors on behalf of other people. So that returns us to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, but you will receive power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I think you probably know what witness means, but it's actually a noun and a verb. It's a noun in the sense that someone who sees an event or has evidence of. So it's safe to say everybody in here is a witness in some way, shape, or form to the glory and grace of God. If not, I don't think you would be here. Thank you. Whoever the soft amen was from, I'll take it. It's also a verb. It means to give or serve as evidence to testify to. What the world needs is more Christians to testify to what God has done in their life. That's what we need. How do we fix the problems in the world? Let's start testifying to what God has done. And quit complaining about everything that's not perfect. Because we're all here. We're all called to be witnesses. In Jerusalem, the holy city, right? That's here. In Jerusalem, here we're to be witnesses. Did you know that? Did you know you were to be a witness here in this holy place? You were to be a witness within the life of this church family. In Judea, the surrounding community. It's what they would have understood that to be. Where they were from. You're to be a witness to the glory of God where you're from, where your feet are planted. Man, and then Jesus makes them uncomfortable and he says, in Samaria. Some of you got it, don't you? Jews don't like the Samaritans and the Samaritans don't like the Jews. And Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses even to them. Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses here in this holy place. You're going to be my witnesses there in your community, but you're also going to be my witness everywhere. Including and especially the places you don't want to go. The places you want to avoid because they're uncomfortable, you're going to be my witness there. We're commanded by our Savior to go and make disciples by being witnesses. Dr. and Professor Steve Siemens, I wish I had done this sermon before I turned in that paper. I could have sent it to him and maybe got extra credit. But this is what he says about the ascension. And he said most of this. at some point, but he says, without his ascension, Jesus, there would be no great commission and no promise of the Holy Spirit. It is the basis for both our being sent to make disciples and the Holy Spirit being sent to empower us as witnesses. He said the mission of the church is only possible because of the ascension. A young businessman who was kind of arrogant. Y'all know how young people in new careers can be kind of arrogant sometimes. Don't answer that. But he went into a big client and he didn't get the deal solidified. He didn't make the sale and he left with his supervisor. And he said, well, you know what they say. You can drag a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And the supervisor looked back at him and said, oh, son, your job's not to make them drink. Your job's to make them thirsty. Church, your job is not to make people drink what you believe. It's to make them so thirsty for what you have that they beg for it. You're called to make people thirsty for the glory of God. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand up looking towards heaven? I want y'all to think for a minute. Jesus, here he is, he's there, and he's in this cloud, and they're standing there. Where'd he go? Not again, where is he? And these angels come up and say, why are y'all looking around? Go, get busy making disciples like he told you to do, because the same way you saw him leave, he's coming back. So my fear is that too many times, as the church, as the body of Christ, we're witnesses in noun form, standing around looking, just waiting for him to come back. But our command was to be verbs, to go and make people thirsty for God, to go and to be witnesses and to testify to what he's done in our lives. So how's your witness? If people followed you around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, would they thirst for Jesus? Or would they have no idea that you were a believer? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? That's the questions that need to be asked. Are you living your life knowing that the Holy Spirit is always with you? Are you living into the authority of Jesus Christ? And are you interceding and making disciples? The best part of the news is if you answered probably not or no to some of those or even all of those, there's enough grace to give us another chance starting now. So then my question to you is, are you individually and are we as a church, because I'm telling you this church is about to explode again. Are you ready? Are you willing to be witnesses? Here. There. And everywhere you go. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.